Hello, everyone. Welcome to Minghui Radio, bringing you podcasts of stories relating to the persecution of Falun Gong in China, insights and experiences gained by practitioners during the course of their cultivation, special items of interest, and music composed and performed by DAFA practitioners. In today's podcast, we bring you an experience-sharing article from the 10th China Fahui on Minghui.org entitled How I've Remained Determined and Steadfast in Cultivation, by Yan Jian, a practitioner from China.
China Fahui, How I've Remained Determined and Steadfast in Cultivation, by Yan Jian, a practitioner from China. Greetings, revered master. Greetings, fellow practitioners. I was fortunate to begin practicing Falun Dafa in 1998 when I was 50 years old. A year later, the Chinese Communist Party, CCP, started the persecution. I would like to share how I have continued on the path that Master arranged for me with determination after the persecution started. Clarifying the truth. Fellow practitioners and I went to the provincial government to appeal for the right to practice Falun Dafa on July 21, 1999. Officials thought I was the coordinator. A reporter came to me, and several dozen armed police stared at me. The reporter wanted to take my picture, but I stopped him. Then he left. On the afternoon of July 23, I called my friends and clarified the truth to them, asking them not to listen to the lies on TV. In 2001, after the party made up more lies through its staged Tiananmen self-immolation incident, I told people the truth. Everyone I talked to no longer believed the lies. I also wrote letters to the People's Daily and the China Central Television Station and asked them not to passively commit crimes along with the CCP. I also hung up truth clarification banners and stickers with fellow practitioners. They were very effective. Establishing a material production site. The only material production site in our area was destroyed in the spring of 2000. Over 10 practitioners were illegally arrested, and several of them were sent to forced labor camps. A practitioner and I established a new material site with the support of the practitioner's family. One of his family members helped purchase supplies, transfer them, and distribute the materials. The materials we made not only supplied local practitioners, but also practitioners outside of our area. At that time, not many practitioners went out to talk about the persecution, so the two of us often delivered the materials ourselves. Sometimes we went to the residential areas to distribute materials. Sometimes we also went to the village markets and distributed massive amounts of materials there. With Master's help, the two of us have been making materials steadily year after year. Our coordinator was arrested in 2000. Afterward, some practitioners seldom went out to distribute materials or talk to people due to fear. Some practitioners even stopped practicing. I took on the responsibilities of a coordinator and established a Fa study group. I also tried to persuade those practitioners who had stopped practicing to come back. Later, as the environment improved, more and more practitioners came out to participate in saving people. My workload increased significantly. I also needed to balance the relationship with my family. In order to do everything well, I needed to study the Fa more and cultivate myself so I could do the things that practitioners are required to do in the Fa rectification period. Experience in the senior center. I have been trying my best to follow the requirements of the Fa while clarifying the truth to save people, so that people could see how wonderful Falun Dafa is from my behavior. Because of the CCP's slander, a lot of people distance themselves from practitioners. With our continued effort to validate the Fa, people continue to recognize how great Dafa is and the lies collapse by themselves. Over the past 15 years, except for the time when the police came to my house to take away Dafa books on July 27, 1999, my family has not been affected by the persecution. However, at the beginning, my family members were afraid that their promotions or going to college and going abroad would be affected, so they pressured me to stop practicing. My husband couldn't handle the mental pressure and asked for divorce. I was not affected by this. he decided to go to a senior center and live on his own. In the senior center, he told people that I would be arrested sooner or later because I practiced Falun Dafa. He claimed that I had mistreated him and had not cooked for him, so he was allowed to stay there. In the evening, I went there to bring him some fruit, his glasses and books, and magazines that he liked to read. I also brought him a desk lamp. When I first entered the center, people all looked at me strangely. I knew it was because of what my husband had told them. I greeted them and clarified the truth to them. The head of the center was very happy and said, "We welcome you. You are such a kind-hearted person." People also said to my husband, "Look, your wife is such a good person. You are so lucky." When I left, my husband wanted to go home with me. He said, "This is not where I want to live." The wife of the center's head said, "You are such a nice wife and a great person." I said, "Master Li's disciples are all great people. Please remember that Falun Dafa's principles are truthfulness, compassion, and forbearance. It is very righteous." She said, "I understand." My husband's going to the senior center created an opportunity for me to demonstrate the wonderfulness of Dafa and save the people in the center. I did not blame my husband. Instead, I was thankful that he helped me improve my Xinqing and save people. My neighbors all know that I am tolerant and generous. My relatives and friends have also withdrawn from the CCP. I've kept Master's teaching in mind. Quote, "Steadfastly cultivate Dafa, the will unflinching," unquote. True nature revealed from essentials for further advancement too. I only tell the truth. One day at the end of July 1999, the head of our residential committee told practitioners they had to attend a meeting. Everybody was required to sign their name to guarantee that they would no longer practice Falun Dafa. I used my own experiences and other examples to validate Dafa and tell officials that cultivating truthfulness, compassion, and forbearance benefited China and its people. After the meeting, the head said, "Tomorrow, police from the local station will come to videotape. Please do not say those things in front of them." I said, "I only tell the truth, no matter where or to whom. Falun Dafa has a miraculous effect in curing diseases. Cultivating truthfulness, compassion, and forbearance, and being a good person is not allowed by the party. This is not reasonable." The head said, "You can practice at home with your curtains closed." I said, "Are you saying that being a good person should be hidden and kept underground?" The next day, there was no meeting. Over the past 20 years, I have always used the same phone number. It is a tool for me to clarify the truth. When people from the residential committee, police station, or political and legal committee call me, it's a great opportunity for me to tell them the truth. When our area faced brutal persecution, the majority of our material production sites were destroyed. Most of the coordinators were arrested, and most of the practitioners stopped coming out to validate the Fa. I thought, what should I do? Some advised me to go out of town to avoid being persecuted. Some asked me not to continue with what I was doing. Some also doubted me because I was not arrested. I was not affected by any of this and continued to participate in the group Fa study. I never missed any opportunities to send forth righteous thoughts next to prisons or forced labor camps, even when I had to do it alone. With Master strengthening and protection, I have been doing the three things that I am supposed to do. Master taught us, quote, "The Fa can break all attachments. The Fa can destroy all evil. The Fa can shatter all lies. And the Fa can strengthen righteous thoughts," unquote. Drive out interference from essentials for further advancement too. Later, fellow practitioners realized what they should be doing, and everyone started coming out to do the three things. Studying the Fa well. After April 25, 1999, I started reciting the Fa. I thought, if the party takes away my books, I will still have Dafa as a guide in my heart. I have recited Juan Falun 60 times. I will continue to memorize the Fa. Besides studying the Fa every day on my own, I also participate in group Fa study. Our small group has been studying the Fa every day. I also go to the large group Fa study once a week. After Master taught us how to send forth righteous thoughts, I have been doing it steadily. When I have more time, I send forth righteous thoughts more. Sometimes I'm able to send forth righteous thoughts 18 times per day. After several coordinators were arrested, my workload became even heavier. I continued to study the Fa well, do the exercises, recite the Fa, and send forth righteous thoughts. Working on coordination and other projects, my time has been very limited. Luckily, my husband has been helping with some of the house chores. I have experienced so many miracles in my cultivation. I know that Master has been protecting me all the time. Otherwise, I would not have been able to accomplish anything. Our righteous thoughts and wisdom come from Dafa. Studying the Fa more, studying the Fa well, protecting and validating the Fa, and saving people are our mission. We should keep up with the pace of Master's Fa rectification and honor our sacred vows as Dafa disciples. Thank you, revered Master. Thank you, fellow practitioners. Hashur.
Thank you for listening to the Minghui Radio podcast. For more information, including news about the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China and experience sharing stories by practitioners around the world, please visit our website at en.minghui.org.